Hey team, welcome to another episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader Podcast, the podcast where we actually explore the minds of leaders from all around the agriculture and agribusiness space about what it takes to lead intentionally in this industry today. My friends, if there's some value in here for you today, we ask you to subscribe to the podcast, share this with someone who needs to hear the message of what it takes to be intentional. Let's get into the show. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader Podcast. This is your host, Mark Jewell. And today I'm on with Justin Powell from Novasource. Man, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's go. Talk to me. What is it? What's it mean for you to be intentional?
To be intentional, so I mean, if you know, you look up in the dictionary, it's deliberate. So the deliberate act of, you know, showing up, communicating, you know, just doing the things that need to be done as a leader.
Yeah, I like it. Short and sweet, man. What? Why do you think so many people struggle with it?
You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, I struggle with it at times, but yeah. I think you know, it's just a lot of. Just taking the effort to be deliberate, and you know, just so much going on in everyone's lives these days. You know, I look at myself, I have a huge territory, a lot going on, small kids at home. You know, it's just, it's hard to be in tune to everything that you got to do, whether it's the leadership role, your role as a husband or a father, you know, just a lot going on in the world these days.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I wanted to make this podcast actually is because that's true. There's so much going on. And often when I get involved with clients or we get involved with clients from our company's standpoint, it's usually because things have maybe gone just a little bit too far. You know, the balance is out of whack. You know, but like one of the top three things our people are asking for is help with time management, right? Help with work-life balance and so on and so forth, which are quite honestly two of the toughest ones to crack.
Exactly. Yeah. No doubt.
You got a little team here that spans the broad scope of North America. We were talking a little bit off the call. You're covering all the United States and Canada from your place down there in Alabama. So how does intention play into keeping your team in communication, keeping everybody up to date? How do you tackle that?
Well, so, you know, as we discussed as well, I'm fairly new to the role as this particular role, but I kind of treat it. So I feel like, you know, a lot of times sales leaders will get into our position by, you know, being good sales guys, mm-hmm. Whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, that just seems to be what happens. And so I kind of treat it, you know, I try to treat my team almost not exactly like, but a little bit like I treat my customers, you know, so I'm intentional about, you know, making contact with them on the appropriate amount of time. Every guy is different on how much you need to stay in contact. You know, intentional about, you know, coaching them through certain situations and letting them handle the others themselves, you know, knocking down roadblocks for them when they need me to, or just staying out of the way. And then also, you know, showing trust to the guys, you know, right. Trust them to be able to do the things that they need to be able to do.
Yeah, I think that's big. Trust is a big thing. And then knowing the right cadence as you look across all the different people within your team, right? Someone want a little bit more hands-on approach, someone a little more hands-off approach. But I think you knocked out the right one there, which is just removing roadblocks. Let people, you know, get the roadblocks out of their way, let them run. Talk a little bit about, you know, what is it when it comes to, you know, attracting talent, finding the right kind of people to be on your team. And you've been in a few different organizations. So what has worked for you across the different organizations you've been involved with over the years that makes you say, hey, I want to be with this place. I don't want to be with this place. What's worked for you?
You know, as far as attracting talent, you know, it's tough these days. You know, there's a lot of moving around. It seems like, especially the last 3 to 5 years, it seems like accelerated. You know, finding the right guys or right people. I put a lot of trust in the people I know in the industry and try to locate these people. And then once you have them, then you got to keep them, which is sometimes harder than finding them. You know, you find a good guy, you may find a diamond in the rough or something like that. And then, you know, he's that's a hot commodity these days.
Yeah,
So,
of course.
the way I do that is, you can't always throw more money at it. We all have HR teams and that handle the purse strings there. So, as far as just try to build a culture, or I'm a huge football fan, try to build that team culture. A good buddy of mine, he works in retail, and he puts it like this. He's like, man, I want my group, from the truck drivers, the secretaries, to all the sales guys, we're all a team, and if one of us leaves, we all leave. We'll throw the keys over the fence when we leave. So, you try to build that mentality with your group that, hey guys, we're a team here. It's kind of tough. Like I said, I don't know if I said it yet, but I've got six guys. We cover two countries. We're spread out from South Florida to Northwest Washington, and then everything in between. So it's kind of hard to build that team mentality. So go into a lot of having guys, whether they really need help or not, having certain guys tag along with the other guys when the situation makes sense, just to try to build some rapport among the team and help those guys build that team.
I think that's interesting. Back in the pre-2020 days, we had a nice cadence with our team, which looked different than it does now because we've restructured. Obviously, we got to go a little bit backwards during COVID, being an event focused company. So we went backwards in headcount, and now that we're coming back, I have to be intentional about creating that again. Again, small team like you have, right? What's the right cadence, do you think, for getting people together in person? I mean, Zoom's great. You can only do so much, though, right? Or being on
That's
the phone.
right.
You can only
Yeah, I'm
send
with
so many memes before it runs out of style, right? So,
you. That's right.
what do you think is the right cadence for getting people together?
That's tough to say. Currently with my group, we're on the 2 to 3 times a year where we have the whole team together, whether it's a sales training or a national meeting or whatever. And sometimes it seems like, it's not enough, and other times it seems like too much because everyone's so busy. So that's a tough question to ask, but yeah, that 2 to 3 seems to work good for us, and then I try to spend more time, with each guy individually throughout the year, on another 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah, I think that's good. My philosophy was, we didn't have an office, not a traditional office building. Before that was cool, by the way, we didn't have that.
That's right.
I thought, okay, well, I can allocate some funds that would normally be allocated to building overhead to getting the team together. So I'll do that in the form of plane tickets, bring them together, do some sort of a, we did an escape room, we go do kickboxing together and stuff like that, because it just, created a space where we
That's
could
right.
bond and yeah, get work done too, right? We'd get together, have our meetings, we'd just, be in, everybody fly in for the night before, get together for a day, have a nice dinner, and then fly out the next day. So I think
Exactly.
do it quick enough, that makes sense. I think a lot of companies are struggling with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, ours included. I mean, there's always the feel like, oh, we're not doing this enough. But then, like you said, there's just the cost, resources, and just the time of taking the guys out of the field. I mean, we're always selling, so it's tough to take them out.
Yeah. Do you think guys struggle with that too? Just being able to shut it down, what they have going at home or out in the field, long enough to be present for an in-person?
I do. I find myself, so I still have some sales responsibilities with national accounts, and during the meeting, it never fails. I could go a week with no one calling or having questions, and then when you're having a meeting, here they come. So it's tough to keep your mind into it, because you are getting hit up, and then or the wife calls and the babies are sick at home. There's always something else going on.
There's never
Yeah,
not something, right? I just I
exactly.
I'm becoming more and more of the mindset where it just has to be, it's like, listen, if I don't put date night on the calendar, it's not happening, right? We don't make it a
100%.
priority. So my wife and I put date night on the calendar. If I don't put my personal health as a priority and make sure, okay, that's got to be on the calendar, whatever, 4 or 5 times a week for me, then if it's not there, I'll put something else there. Or somebody else will put something else in my calendar.
Exactly. No
So,
doubt.
I think that cadence for how we do things together in person is just, it's got to be one of those things. And this is the one, encouragement I give you or anybody else from what I see working is when they know that it's coming, like, hey, every quarter or every 4 months or 6 months or whatever it is, this is the date and this is the date and this is the date. So they can plan for it. Their families can plan for it, right? I mean,
Exactly.
there's ways to kind of just know that that's coming and hopefully make that a priority. So
I know.
what you know, from your experience as an employee, what has worked for you being involved with different cultures? What have you seen good leaders do to create great culture? What have you seen leaders not do that maybe cause some poor culture things? What's your take?
So, I mean, the good leaders that I've had over the years, they've done a good job of, like I said before, the team atmosphere, us against the world, that always seems to help. And then, just having, backing up their employees, that, not necessarily at all on everything, but, just having the feeling of your supervisor having your back just goes a long ways. You don't want to be that guy that feels like you're going to get left on an island. And I've had supervisors like that to where, when I've done something, maybe I should or shouldn't have, but there was no support whatsoever when the kind of the rubber met the road, so to speak, and just got ran over by the bus. So it's so that's a big deal building the culture. Like we said earlier, the trust thing. You gotta have trust within you, your group. And to build that trust, you got to show trust. So that's hard to do at times, especially someone like myself. When you're handing the reins over, so to speak, or allowing your guys to do it, you just got to trust that they can. But they may do it differently than you, and it doesn't always come out. So just having the ability to let things play out, I think, is huge in building that culture.
Is there a red flag for you, either as a salesperson or having managed salespeople, where you start to worry a little bit about someone, where you're like, I'm not sure they're getting it all done. I'm not sure that the projections are quite right. I'm just curious if there's like, because we've all been there, right? Where things haven't gone quite according to plan. You know, we're
Absolutely.
just talking off the call about it, trying to figure out if the, do the numbers all work? Is it all adding up quite the same?
Yeah,
So yeah, curious.
what's funny, it seems
What's the
like
red flag?
when there's a problem that the numbers just don't add up a lot of times. So it's, I don't necessarily have a red flag. I mean, it's just, I guess, just that constant communication you try to have with your guys. You start picking up on when they're not really, doing what they should be doing, or what they, or the things that they're saying they're doing. I don't know. It just kind of comes through in the conversation. And then, you try not to just call them out on the mat, but every now and then you have to and say, "All right, what's going on here?" And then it usually gets addressed.
That's never fun. That's never fun.
Never fun. That's part of being a leader, though. Sometimes you got to do the non-fun things. You can't all be rainbows and sunshine.
Why not, man? I wish it was. I wish it was.
I'm telling you, I just want to be the fun guy that, they call me that fixes all the problems.
But you mentioned something earlier on I wanted to tap back on, which is, at the end of the day, as followers, we sometimes we just want to know that there's a leader that's got our back, right?
Absolutely.
That we can lean on when we get a little bit lost.
Exactly.
I think intuitively, inherently, we all want that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think it helps, that to know that you've been there and you're still doing it. Like I said, I still have some sales responsibility. They know that, I've either done exactly what they're doing or in the process of doing it still. And I have the same wants and needs from my leader. So I try to give them what I would want or need.
That makes sense. Cool, man. We'll talk a little bit more about your background and what has been one of those big challenges that you've had to overcome over the years.
So we talked about this. I'm in my earlier, I think off camera. I've only been in my role for a little over a year. The company I work for is very lean, always has been. So our kind of go to market's always been to kind of take old products that are either off patent or just, the bigger manufacturing companies aren't paying attention to anymore. And typically, that's where NovaSource always got its employees as well. So they would bring in guy older, I don't want to say old, older guys who were
More
at
experienced.
more experienced. There we go.
There you
More
go.
experienced guys who had either work with the products or competitive products or just in that, because like I said, if you look at our product portfolio, all of our products are older than me and you put together. And it's just, so they're old products. So the experienced guys is what they always hired. I was kind of the first non, baby boomer, really. Matter of fact, when I first started, the guys, they called me their token millennial. I was the only millennial in the sales group.
So. I love it.
So the struggle, so that's a long way around to say, my biggest struggle with coming into this leadership role was, connecting with guys who are way older, way more experienced than I was. They're professional, so I never had any issues with, being the younger leader. When you've been in, like I said earlier, I've been doing this almost 15 years. Well, these guys have been doing it 35, 36, 33 years. They've got a lot. It's tough to connect with at times.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, team, please forgive this quick intrusion into the podcast, but I have a really important announcement that I want everybody to get their earballs on. And that is that we have an upcoming Thriving Leader event coming up August 21st and 22nd. The Thriving Leader is our flagship program. We have run this thing over 135 times across the broad scope of agriculture. Thousands of people have gone through this, and our coaching programs and our public events each year are free. We only run two of these per year because of that. And your next chance to get access is coming up on August 21 and 22. The next one will not be until 2025. So we hope to see you. It's in Kansas City. Head on over to thriving-leader.com. That's thriving-leader.com. You get all the details and to book a meeting to see how you can get free access for you and some of your team coming up at the Thriving Leader in Kansas City, Missouri, August 21st and 22nd, 2024. We'll see you there. So I wrote a program. In fact, the program that I started this company with is a program called Managing Across Generations.
Yeah.
And I wrote it as a result of a very intense conversation that I had with a baby boomer leader who's kind of still in the industry at this point. He's probably very close to retirement. And fun fact, in the next, I think, 16, 18 months, the we'll hit the peak of the baby boomer retirement before we're kind of hitting the peak of that. And then it'll start to taper off as the Gen Xers assume the more senior role of the senior generation of the industry. So I was having a conversation with this guy on a sales call, and I asked him, what's the most important things for you as it pertains to developing your teams? And he sat back and thought about it, and then he proceeded to just unleash holy hell on the millennial generation and what a bunch of lazy, entitled little, they all were, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of sit here at the cusp. I'm right between the Gen X and the millennials, like depending what book you read, generations, I'm right there on the middle of it, right?
Gotcha.
Could go depending on the day, whoever feels the most popular today, I can pick my team, right? Gen X.
Gotcha. Yeah, there you go.
And so, but I empathize with both sides of that equation, of course. And so I'm listening to this. I'm like, wow, like, whatever, from a sales perspective, you should always be listening to your customer's pain and what are they afraid of? And what is the pain in the market? And I thought, wow, like this guy is really messed up about this millennial thing.
Yeah.
And I started doing some research. Turns out there's a lot of boomers that are kind of messed up about this millennial thing. And now, of course, we've got two more generations, one fully in the workplace and another one coming up behind it that we're going to have to, that the millennials are not going to be managing for the rest of their career. Right.
Exactly.
And so every generation is worse than the next generation is always worse than the one before it, according to the generation before it, of course.
That's right.
To wrap my story, that was what I went to market with when I very first started this company, was a course called Managing Across Generations to help those boomers overcome their millennial problems. That was the beginning of it. Yeah. we'll talk about that was challenge, right? So overcoming that generational, some of those expectations that you've got with your superiors. What's been a big win for you?
Probably my biggest win that I've had today. Like I said, very short amount of time in this position, but so I have one guy who much older, tough to connect with. I feel like he and I kind of finally got there this year, and he could retire, I'm pretty sure, if he wanted to. And but anyway, this year he and I, like I said, we finally got to a good spot, and we kind of went through our biggest season is always August through November, and that's we sell a product called Sectagon. It's soil fumigant, it mainly on potatoes, and it all goes in the PNW, the Midwest. That's just kind of it's just a treat after harvest, getting ready for next season. So we're just insane throughout this time of the year. So he and I just kind of at loggerheads a little bit last year, but this year we had a plan going in, and we put the plan together, executed the plan, and we had a phenomenal year with that particular product. He had the best year ever for his territory. I mean, it just I don't know. It was a lot of what he did, but but he and I together, we did well. I just feel like that was a huge win. I mean, I don't know. It's
Probably a big win for both of you.
big win for both of us. So, but yeah, it was just cool to see it. And what it was, I just kind of turned him loose. Like I said earlier, there was, last year I tried to hold it too close, and this year I just kind of let the reins go, and he took off and did us both a good job. So it was great.
I think a good point of advice for anybody, because there's a lot of young leaders, like yourself, that are now having to manage a team, right? And much of that team, if not all of it, is going to be more experienced than you. If that individual had wanted the leadership role, they would have already been in it, right? He wants to go out there and sell, and he's good with that, and that's what he wants to do. So we got to find a way to let him do it. One of the things I've found that just really seems to work is showing that deference. I mean, one of the nice things about that generation also is that there's still a respect for hierarchy. So they'll
No doubt.
respect you because you've taken on the team lead role. They'll give you enough respect. From there, it's just about building a relationship and not getting in the way. And I know some people run into some situations with maybe somebody who's not pulling their weight the same way, and that's a more difficult conversation to have. But man, most of these guys that are at that stage of the game and they're still in it, I think they want to. They want to be out there selling. They don't want to sit home. They don't want to just hang it up and go fishing, whatever. Like, man, like what a great asset. And then finally, the last thing that I've found has really worked for me over the years is turn them into your mentor. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they know they've been around and seen just about everything, and they know where all the pitfalls are. They know who the people are. Like, man, like what a, such a great asset. And it's what a great person who you can capture a lot of, life experience from, and just, buy him a beer and let him tell you a story.
No, that's a good point. I mean, it's but it's cool to see those guys in action. Like you said, they, just a wealth of knowledge. Yeah, this same guy, he gave a presentation at our sales meeting, and it just, we've got a lot of new people in our office that, they may or may not understand exactly what we do. So I kind of pulled him to the side and said, "Hey, man, you're an expert at this. Kind of dive into it a little bit." And he just kind of knocked the socks off everybody in the room with this explanation of this. And he kind of tied it into our problem that we'd had earlier in the season. This is why, we had this problem. This is, why it needs to be. It was just great. But like you said, the wealth of knowledge is just insane.
And how much more powerful that is coming from him than you. And I
Yeah,
think a
no
lot
doubt.
of young leaders really struggle with this, thinking they have to be the source of all the information and the through point for everything. And it's actually not true.
Yeah, I agree. And I've had that problem myself in earlier in my career where I, like you said, you feel like you have to do everything. You have to be the, like you said, the source of the information. But my current supervisor, who I actually backfilled his position, he got promoted, so I backfilled him. Been working for him almost 6 years now, and he is the best at not doing that. And it's probably where I've kind of gotten better over the years, just being working with him is, it's not about credit. It's a team game. Like you said earlier, we're trying to make it, and it's just, and these guys, they're better at that than I am. And, allowing them to be better and show it is good for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, what have you been reading this last year in this new role, leveling up? Anything that you've been reading or listening to, podcasts, books, Anything like
Man,
that?
I'll be 100% honest with you. I have not done a good job of reading books the last year or so. So, the last book that I read was a great read. Short, but like I said, huge football fan. It was Mark Richt. He used to be the coach of Georgia Bulldogs. He has a book called Make the Call,
Okay.
and it's very faith-based, but at the same time, there's a lot of leadership in there. And
Yeah.
one thing that when I was preparing for this, I was kind of thinking about it, and I've used it before when dealing with my guys. So, just quick rundown: we've talked about it. Six guys. I've got anywhere from less than a year experience in sales to 37 years experience in sales, and everything in between with my guys. And but anyway, in the book, Mark Richt gives an example when he's offensive coordinator at FSU, and I know I'm going to butcher the story. So the year that Charlie Ward was the quarterback there. The first game of the season. So he'd been brought back from East Carolina or somewhere up in the Carolinas to be the offensive coordinator. And the first game didn't go very well. And they won the game, but just, the offense kind of sputtered. And he was at home and he was complaining. And his wife asked him, said, "Hey, well, all right. Yeah, I know you've got this great offense built, but, that doesn't appear to be the things that Charlie's good at, what you're trying to do. So maybe you should shift your offense to what he's good at, and then things will get better." And so anyway, long story short, he changed the offense. Charlie Ward wins the Heisman that year. So so I kind of use that as a leader is, all right, these guys need different things. They're not going to sell the way I sold, and they're not going to sell the way the other sell. So give each one what he needs versus, trying to make them do it my way.
I like it.
Yeah.
Calling the audible as
That's
needed.
right. Exactly.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. What role for you has mentorship played over the last few years? I'm just curious because kind of in that time frame in your world or in your career stage where that's still important, you got some good experienced people around you. Just curious if you've leveraged that or had some good mentors along the way.
I have some great guys along the way. So I have four guys who at one point were my supervisor throughout my career that I still stay in touch with that were just phenomenal guys. I picked up a little bit along the way from every one of them. And I honestly say you wouldn't be the guy that I am today without these guys. I mean, between just my first supervisor, just learning the business, just how to be effective. And and then what's kind of cool is I still talk to him all the time, and it's he's still giving me ideas of new things to do, and try this, try that. And a lot of it doesn't work, but it's just that, just to keep the wheels spinning, so to speak, is huge. And then it's just, so it's been huge for me. More on the men, I have been mentored than I don't really have any mentees, so to speak.
Time to start practicing, man. Got to
Yeah,
follow.
I guess so, man. But it is. I take a lot of what I do from the guys that who have done it to me over the years, have done it for me over the years. So it's been good. And like I said before, I still have one of my great mentors so far that I report to now. I mean, he's not just my supervisor. He kind of has shown me the way over the last few years, and it's been good.
Absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about the role that vulnerability plays. We talk about this on most of our episodes. Just trying to get a feel for, you and your comfort level and experience with that. Like how important is that in being able to be intentional around leading a team?
So what do you mean exactly? So by
Yeah,
vulnerability.
when we think about like how where well some people struggle to open up a little bit, and so they have a hard time connecting with their team. Some people leverage vulnerability to just be a real person who has challenges just like everybody else,
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
yeah, just curious how what role vulnerability plays in your intentional leadership.
Yeah, a lot. So I kind of mentioned earlier, I'm in the process of trying to build that team, that sticks together. I try to be the guy that I want them to stick around. And so I try to use or show them, that I have the same issues that they have day to day, same wants and needs. So I think it's good to kind of build that, the team, so to speak. And I know I'm butchering this. I'm not saying it the way I want to say
No,
it,
you're good. You're good.
but yeah, so like you said, just opening up, not knowing everything. When they have questions, I don't just blind them with BS if I don't know the answer. I buy, listen, man, I don't know, but we'll work on it together, type thing. And so not being the guy that has all the answers at times, and that's
I think that's where so many young leaders really struggle, right? And we did we I want to touch back on this. We mentioned it earlier, but a lot of people feel like they have to be the end all be all, because our ego would say to us, like, hey, if I don't know everything, I'm going to lose the respect of my team, right? And at the end, I think that's so far from the truth. Like, yes, you should know your stuff. Yes, you should be working hard to learn and grow your skill sets and all that stuff. But man, at the end of the day, like, your team is already a wealth of knowledge in many cases.
Absolutely.
So how can you just leverage what they already intuitively know and be the guide? I mean, you're going to be the flow of information. Maybe one of the things that a lot of people don't know about being, say, a national sales manager or regional sales manager is you're kind of a glorified admin, right?
Yeah,
Right?
that's
Like,
true.
somebody higher up in your company than you has set goals, and it's your job to facilitate those goals and get your team,
Exactly.
remove the roadblocks, right? Give them the right coaching, give them the right resources, remove any other thing they can get in the way, and let them run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've had examples in the last year where guys will call me and say, "Hey man, we've got this issue. Can we do this, this, or this?" Well, man. All right, you always follow up with questions before you give answers, obviously. And then, we kind of get to the bottom of it. And then it gets down to the bottom. So, listen, man, you know this territory better than I do. You've been in that territory for 10 years. I have not. What's your take? And then, like you said, not knowing all the answers and kind of helping them find the answer on their own. So.
Right on. Yeah, good stuff, man. I love it. I love it. All right. Hey, as we bring this in for a landing, any last thoughts or wisdom from your seat you want to share?
No, I mean, not really any wisdom for sure. But I'll say this, man, I appreciate you having me on. Just preparing for this, it made me realize, there's a lot of stuff I need to work on about being more intentional just day to day with my guys,
So true.
with the business I run. So it was great for me. I hope it was good for you. But it's a cool thing what you're doing here.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, I started studying the word intention on January 26th. There's a whole story behind it. People have to go and get into our training at intentionaltoolbox.com, which is where the free training on the backside of this is. So go check that out, where we get all the like the toolbox, the tools that you need to lead with a greater deal of intention. But as on January 26, 2023, I started studying the word attention, and I have looked at that every day since. I've looked at that word, studied that word, tried to live that word, and the more I do it, the more places I find in life that I'm not, the more ways I find that I haven't been, the more mistakes in that arena, and that's part of the point. Part of the journey is about being open enough to recognize, like, hey, I don't know it all. I haven't perfected this. My goal, just like everybody that I lead, is to be more intentional and get better all the time.
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
good stuff, man. This has been a fun conversation. Thanks for being on.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I hope today's episode brought you a great deal of value about what it takes to lead life and lead in this industry with intention. If you want to go deeper on the topic of leading with intention, I encourage you to head on over to intentionaltoolbox.com and get the 7 free tools that will help you to lead your life in all areas with a greater deal of intention. That's intentionaltoolbox.com. And finally, if this message resonated today, if there's something in here that you got value from, I promise you there's someone else in your life who also would get value from this. So please share the episode, share the podcast, and make sure that you subscribe.